Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. The title of this message is, I Would Not Have You Ignorant, Christian Brothers and Sisters, About Easter. The first thing I'd have you understand from the word, you only find the word Easter once in the New Testament, once in Scripture. It's found in the fourth verse of the 12th chapter of Acts. It's translated, and when he had apprehended him, speaking of Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him up to the four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, this word being translated in this verse, Easter, is found 29 times in the New Testament. And every time, other than this, it's translated Passover. Traditions make void the word of God. William Tyndale, the first to translate the scriptures from Greek to English, 1526, well-intended as he was, he chose to translate this Greek word paschal to Easter. Traditions had influenced this most wonderful translator. Herod was not celebrating Easter. He was celebrating Passover, or the days of Passover. This is a hard message to deliver, but it is delivered from a conviction that where lights get turned on, people will understand. I don't think we're going to get the message completed in the half hour allotted on shortwave, so if your interest and attention is caught by the following words, go to thegodschool.com if you want to hear the whole message. For hearing the whole message should bring edification as to the faithfulness of God, and not the celebration that this whole foolish Christian tradition has diminished God's faithfulness and what God is doing with those that he has chosen out of the world. The first thing that we need to understand is about the feast days of God. These are set times of God. The first set time of God is found at Passover, first feast day, second feast day, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It follows the day of Passover. The third feast day of God is the Feast of First Fruits, and it happens on the first day of the week following the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We need to understand that the Hebrew day went from sundown to sundown, not midnight to midnight, sundown to sundown. Of these feast days, Paul says they were but shadows of things to come. But the substance was Jesus. And God foreshadowing what Jesus would do designates Passover as a set time. And the week that Jesus was tried, convicted, condemned, and crucified took place beginning Tuesday evening, Passover, so he could celebrate Passover. That's what the Last Supper was, a gathering for Passover. And before the day was ended, Jesus was arrested, tried, convicted, and crucified before sundown. Now, the misunderstanding of so many in the church about where it says they had to bury him quickly before the Sabbath being referred to there is another high Sabbath day, the beginning of unleavened bread. Passover begins Tuesday night. Passover ends Wednesday evening. First, unleavened bread begins Wednesday evening, and it's a 7-day celebration. And regardless of the day of the week wherein unleavened bread begins, on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, again, Hebrew times, beginning Saturday evening, is the feast, the set time of God of first fruits. Not this heathen born out of the heathen religions. And by the way, that word Easter is nothing but a cognate for Ishtar, that another name for Semiramis, wife of Nimrod. These gave the origins for all the heathen religions. Ishtar, goddess of fertility. Where do you think the bunny rabbit, coloring of Easter eggs, begins Fertility! Oh, that God would take away the blinders from you and understand His word and His faithfulness. When I conduct tours at our Bible museum, I begin the tours quoting Psalm 138, wherein it says, God has magnified His word above His name. What God says is more important to do or fulfill or make His word come to pass than even His great name. And we're speaking from the word of God, which God does elevate. So the sequence of God's set times being fulfilled by Jesus Christ were Passover beginning Tuesday evening, unleavened bread. Christ is dead now. He's taken from the cross. He's buried quickly in a tomb before the set time, the high Sabbath day of unleavened bread. And the feast set time of first fruits, speaking of the resurrection, we're going to get to it. Christ, the first fruits, is raised by God Saturday evening. No sunrise service. Christ was already out of the tomb. Sunrise service, another tradition coming from the heathen religions. If I'm sound, exercise, it's because I am. I'm tired of God's word being made void by our traditions. I want to go today to that passage where Paul speaks of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, before we go there, I just like to point a few things out. So in the timing of that which we call the Holy Week, which is not properly understood, nor practiced, when they came to Jesus, the scribes and Pharisees and religious people, they said to Jesus, show us a sign that you are who you are. And in Matthew 12:40, Jesus' response was, it's a faithless and perverse generation. That's 12:39, that seeketh a sign. But calling them what they were, Jesus said, I'm going to show you a sign. He said, for as Jonas, that is Jonah, was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. In Mark 8:31, it says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes." Again, religious people. It's not a positive term, folks. I think God hates religion. He loves faith and those who practice it, who can be called faithers. And be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. Just want to give you a little more of God's word. In John, 2nd chapter, 19th verse, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When, therefore, he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they faithed," properly translated, "faithed the scriptures," the word of God, "and the word which Jesus had said." We get from Wednesday evening at the death of Christ and burial, we get Wednesday evening, Thursday evening, and Friday evening. We get Thursday and Friday and Saturday, 3 days and 3 nights, as God set it forth in his feast days, as Jesus giving the book of Jonah as a sign, and Jonah is an incredible story, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is an incredible story. And so let's hear the story. Paul opens after the 12th, 13th, and 14th chapters of 1 Corinthians, where he's talking about spiritual things. And he continues on and he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel," that is, the God spiel, that is, what God said, "which I preached unto you, which ye have received, and wherein ye stand." Oh, that you'd stand in God's word. "By which also you're saved, if you keep in memory." Hold fast is an alternative translation. "What I have preached unto you, unless you believed or faithed in vain." That is vanity. That is didn't intend to cough. Trying to prepare air, that you might hear air, which is nothing you can hang your hat on. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received. Paul is telling us he received this, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, the written word. And that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me as one born out of due time. This is Paul's experience on the road to Damascus. For Paul says, for I'm the least of all the apostles, sent ones, that I'm not right or meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, the unmerited favor, I am, Paul says, what I am. And his grace, which upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Oh, how great the grace of God. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye faithed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. And your faith also is vain. And ye, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Listen to this. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. How can Paul say that? You know, Christ is preached all over the place. Look what God has done for me. Look, I'm driving a Cadillac. Look at the house I live in. Look at the job I have. Look at the money I'm making. God has poured out his blessing upon me. Look, you can all see it. If that's where your hope in Christ is, oh, how limited your view of Christ is. And anybody that teaches you that doctrine, how limited, how vain their teaching of Christ is. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Look at the life of Paul. But we're talking about the resurrection here right now. But now is Christ risen from the dead. That's the homepage of the God School. That is the foundation and cornerstone of real Christianity. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Listen to Paul's reasoning. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. After that, they that are at Christ at his coming. He is coming again, folks. Then the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he, because he, Jesus, must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he, that is God, has put all things under his feet, that is the feet of Jesus, that when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he, that is God, is accepted, God the Father, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, that is, unto Jesus, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, that is God our Father, that put all things under Jesus, that God may be all in all. The text is long, folks. Hang in here with me. Else what should they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest, Paul says, by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, part of that prayer is, thy will be done. That's a bit of dying daily when you commit yourself to God our Father and say, with understanding, not my will, but thy will be done, the same as Jesus said before he gave himself for our sins. Paul's now going to do a little autobiography. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantages it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. This is the Epicurean's philosophy. Seize the day. Do what you want. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake unto righteousness and sin not. And Paul, in the 14th chapter of the book of Romans, says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We are called by God and gifted by God to live a life of faith. And faith, by definition, is an action based upon a belief, sustained by confidence. And you can't live without faith, but that faith that Jesus spoke of, that God desires, is faith in His Word. It is acting on the promises of God because God spoke them, and He is faithful, and He will make good what He said, whether we see it in this life or not. God will make it good because God is faithful. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. Whew. This is what I'm trying to get across, folks. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He's referring to those who are teaching the people. But some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Now Paul's going to try to bring some common sense. And he starts out by saying, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Now, fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which is sown, thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it has pleased Him. And to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. This word being translated celestial from the Greek, it means above the sky, heavenly in origin and nature. Terrestrial means upon the earth. In the house, in other words, that we live in the earth. Paul's talking about two different natures here. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, and it's raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, and it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body. What's a natural body? Corruption. Dishonor. Weakness. It is sown in the natural body. It is raised in the spiritual body. There's a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written. The first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was a quickening spirit. Last Adam, Jesus Christ. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that after that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. Why do you think Paul says, we look not at the things that are seen, but the things which are unseen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are unseen are eternal. We live by faith, not by sight. Oh, God, give ears to the hearers of this message. And I know to some he has. To others, they're just dull of hearing. As is the earthy, such as they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Paul was speaking, I am speaking to the people who belong to the Lord. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. He's quoting Matthew 16:17. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Oh, this corrupted one who's speaking to you is speaking to you the word, the incorruptible word of God. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed from the earthly to the heavenly. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. Christianity is involved in eternal things. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Jesus said, be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. I have overcome the earthy. I have overcome the corruptible. I have overcome the mortal. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy power? God showed his power to be greater than death. He showed his power to be greater than the grave when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, who came forth out of the grave. The sting of death is sin, and Jesus Christ took upon himself all our sins. Not only yesterday's, and not only today's, but tomorrow's, and as long as we walk in this earthly body. We're sinners. And the strength of sin is the law. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ, in his earthly body, in his earthly ministry, fulfilled all the law. And he was the law manifest in earthly form, who knew no sin, but took upon himself all our sins, that we, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And when Christ died, the law died. Paul says, excuse me, in the 6th chapter of the book of Romans, for ye are not under the law. This is post-resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is post-crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Ye are not under law, but under grace. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, beloved in Jesus Christ of God, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This is what God is doing. He, to those who put their trust in him, God has put the life, the spirit of Jesus Christ in us. That's God's working. Abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In the Lord. God, all in all, God with us. That wonderful psalm which says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob, described as a sinner, is our refuge. Our refuge is in Jesus Christ as we run to him and give our life. Not a run down to the altar one time and say, oh, I believe Jesus is Lord, baptize me and I'll go to heaven. And it's a daily thing. That's why Paul says, I die daily. To God be the glory forever in this time that the world calls Easter. I would not have you ignorant of God's work and the work of Jesus Christ and what he is doing and will do to all those who trust him. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is also a gift of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father, for this message. And that's the God School for today.